Matthew chapter 7. I hope that today you have come by way of the cross. You've repented of your sins. You've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. I hope that that is your testimony today. But if it is not, thank God there is a balm in Gilead. There is help today. Matthew chapter 7. I want you to notice verse 15 down through verse 23. Very first day of December, first Sunday of the month, there's a method to this message today. Notice verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I want to speak for a few moments on this subject that you will be able to apply to your life as an individual today. And also for those who are saved, you'll be able to use this as a catalyst for sharing Christ during the month of December. I want to speak on this subject, surprised about salvation. Surprised about salvation. And before we even pray, I didn't have these in my message, but even before I pray, because there are a lot of people today who are really going to be surprised about the fact that once they die, the fact that they're not going to heaven. You're going to have that. Yesterday, Brother Justin and I were doing a three-way conversation via cell phone with an individual who saw him at work. And while he was there at work, then once he realized that he was saved, then he tried to proselyte him over into his way of thinking, his belief system, and told him how he needed to be baptized a certain way in order to be saved. Well, we had a little three-way conversation yesterday on the phone with the individual, about an hour and 20 minutes yesterday. And by the way, after I had already got my message and everything together, so I'm just telling you, God knows how to put things together, and what I'm saying fits in with what I'm preaching today. We were talking on the phone, and I told the individual, I can't get into it because we spoke for like an hour, some change, and every verse that he tried to use, I was able to use the scripture and to, you know, this other individual to shoot holes in it because he was trying to base all of his theology on the book of Acts, and you cannot base all of your theology on the book of Acts. I've told you a number of times, if you try to arrange your doctrine as far as salvation on the book of Acts, you'll be confused before you get to the third chapter. You have to know how to interpret the book of Acts, because the book of Acts is a transitional book transcending from the laws of Judaism to present-day Christianity, and you have to understand some things. And when it gets into the part about what does a person need to do in order to be saved, and you find that in the book of Acts, follow that, and that'll give you the right answer. And one of them was when the Apostle Paul, that I use, when the Apostle, Paul was asked by the Philippian jailer, he and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. This gentleman was saying that if you aren't baptized in the name of Jesus, then you can't go to heaven. And I told him, I said, you are trusting your baptism to get you to heaven, and if you're trusting your baptism to heaven, you're not going there. We talked for about an hour and some change, and he evidently drove over to his pastor's house and didn't even let me know about it, and then gave me the phone. And then once I got the phone and realized, it didn't take me but about less than 30 seconds to realize I wasn't talking to the same person. And so because I shot holes in everything, and sometimes he would back himself into a corner, and I would say, okay, now you can't just cut a hole where this corner that you've been backed in and try to go in through another door. I said, let's deal with what we just got through talking about. I said, you said this, but now I've showed you what you said was wrong, and now you want to go over to someplace else. Well, he was driving in the car, he said, and then he said, well, I just hold on for a second. And he gave the phone evidently to his pastor, and his pastor began to rant and to rave. I'm talking about to scream and to yell. Didn't quote one Bible verse. And I said, listen, I'm not talking to the same person, am I? I mean, he just, you're going to hell. You blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And all of this. And next thing you know, and hung up on me. Now, is that the way a Christian's supposed to act? You understand what I'm saying? Here is what I'm saying. If a person is trusting baptism to get them to heaven, then they're not going to heaven. Why did Jesus die on the cross? And there are people today that are sitting up in churches who believe that they're going to heaven, who are going to be surprised one day when they open their eyes in death and realize that they are in the lake of fire, that they're in hell. This is a serious thing, a serious thing. By the way, if somebody wants to talk to me about what I believe as far as salvation, I don't have a problem with it, amen? I want to do that. I gave a lady a gospel tract. I was in a doctor's office. I gave a lady a gospel tract. This was maybe about 2 months back. I gave her a gospel tract, and I asked her, if you were to die today, you know for sure you're going to heaven. Oh, yeah, yes, I know. I said, well, tell me how you got saved. Remember, I told you do that. Just don't take it for granted. Tell her. I said, tell me, how did you get saved? And she said, well, she said, it was when I was young. And she said, I did it when I was young, but, you know, I kind of got away. I said, well, what did you do? Well, you know, and here's what she said. She said, you know, I don't feel comfortable talking about that. See, if you know Christ as your Savior, and somebody asks you, how did you get saved? You ought not to fumble around and say, I don't feel comfortable talking about that. Before, when I was religious but lost, I didn't feel comfortable talking about that. But after I came to the cross, you couldn't shut me up. Matter of fact, my friends, when I would walk in their area, they would say, listen, don't come around here with that. They didn't want to hear what I had to say. See, there are a lot of people sitting up in churches today that are hearing a word, but not the word that's going to change their lives. And they're going to be surprised about salvation. That's my title. Let's get some help from our Heavenly Father. Father, thank you today. Well, thank you that we know the way. Father, thank you that you have revealed it in your word. Father, thank you for the very fact that many in this building have received Christ as their Lord and Savior. But Father, I'm sure in a congregation this size today, Father, that there are some in here who know not Christ as their Savior. Father, help whomever that might be to lay aside anything that might be hindering that individual, man, woman, boy, girl, from coming to Christ. Father, we know that you have all of us here by divine appointment. Father, we know that you have the message for this hour. Now, Father, help us to be not only hearers, but doers today. Father, take full control now of this service. Do what you desire to do in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. And our God's people said, I think that most of us in here like certain surprises. I think maybe during certain times of the year, we like surprises. If it's for a birthday, you probably like to get a surprise on your birthday. You do. If you don't think so, let everybody in the house forget your birthday. on your anniversary. You expect to get something for your anniversary. There's a lot of females saying amen, men. Don't you let the women not praise you today. You ought to be saying amen too, amen. We all like surprises. We do. But however, there is one surprise that I don't believe anybody would like. And that's the surprise of realizing that what that individual believed would get them to heaven won't. That's a terrible surprise. But one day people will experience that. Here in our text, you can see that there were people here who evidently were surprised. They made this statement. They said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? They were surprised that they weren't going to heaven. And by the way, I was in that category myself at one point. I was baptized. I was a church member, but I was lost. And had I died in that state, then this would have been my epitaph. They're surprised, as you can see, even in their words, they were shocked. And one day there will be some who will stand before God at the great white throne judgment and be shocked at what they believed while they were here upon the earth, and what they did while they were here upon the earth wasn't enough to get them to heaven. I need to say that during this Christmas season, it will be a tremendous time of year to share your faith. We ought to communicate our faith all throughout the year, but this is a tremendous time of year to share our faith. You say, why? Because people will be more open to talking about the babe in the manger, but we can tell them about the Christ of the cross. They'll be more open concerning the things surrounding Christmas, and we can weave the Christ of Christmas in there and show them that Jesus is the reason for the season. There will be opportunities to share Christ during this month, and there are ways that we can weave it in. But don't take it for granted that the ones you're going to speak to are saved. One day, some will be surprised about salvation because some have no idea what salvation is all about. Surprise about salvation. I'm going to talk about that for just a few moments, give you a few points. Number one, in case you're taking notes, just talking about the Lord is not salvation. I said just talking about the Lord is not salvation. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Listen, these people would have evidently, of course, talked about the Lord, even talked to the Lord, even say Jesus is their Lord, but knew not the Lord. There are many people during the Christmas season who will talk about the Lord. They'll even say, oh yes, I know that man. Oh yes, the man upstairs. The man better not be upstairs. The man better be in your heart. And that's the God-man, Christ Jesus. There are a lot of people who have religious words and religious jargon, but they know not the Savior. See, just talking about the Lord is not salvation. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 8. He says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. He said, but their heart is far from me. See, just because someone talks about the Lord doesn't mean they are saved. They must repent and receive Christ as their Savior, and then their life must change. See, if a person is the same thing that they used to be after they made Jesus, quote unquote, their Lord, then they didn't get the same transaction that you and I got when we came to the cross. And there's only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus. And when he saves you, he's going to change your life. You and I know many who talk about him. I've been in places where people have been talking about ungodly things and things that are not right. And then as soon as they know I'm a preacher, all of a sudden, they want to get religious and start talking about God and talking about the Lord. And you can see through them just as clear as a pane of glass on a summer day. A lot of people talk about the Lord, but they don't know him. Just talking about him doesn't make a person saved. I've told you maybe about 2 or 3 months back now. It's hard to remember. Time just goes so fast. But my wife and I on a Saturday night was over at a lady's house. And we were sitting down on the couch where she was. And I told you about it. I think I shared it on a Wednesday night. We were sitting on the couch and was talking to her about the Lord, and she addressed my wife as the first lady and addressed me as the preacher, a pastor. And but yet, when we came in, you know, there were liquor bottles all over the place. And I'm talking about not full, empty. And I knew why they were empty. It didn't take very long. She came out and she was drunk. By the way, I believe you ought to just call it like it is. I didn't say she was inebriated. I didn't say she was intoxicated. I said she was drunk. Drunk. But yet claiming to be saved. We've got a lot of people like that today. They're one way when they're in church, but then a totally different way when they're away from the house of God. She was drunk. She was shacking with a man. And we told her, so you need to get out of that situation. She said, hey, I'm not leaving that situation. He was here for me. When I needed something, I'm going to be here for him. I'm not getting out of it. And then that same woman who's supposed to be saved, not, but supposed to be, she stands up and, you know, we kind of working our way out. I'm just boiling it down. We're working our way out the door. We stayed there for over an hour, but working our way out the door. And she'd already used the curse word in the house. And then we out here on the porch working our way out, and she's talking about, ooh, I just got to come to church and testify. I just got to come to church and testify. Listen, just because somebody looks like as if they're a helicopter about to take off, that doesn't make them saved. Anybody can fan their arms, and anybody can move around, and anybody can gyrate and all of that like as if something all over them. I tell you what was all over her. It was alcohol that was all over her. And playing religion. And that woman used, there's profanity that is bad. All of it's bad. But there are certain words that are just foul words that shouldn't come out of anybody's mouth. None of it should. But there are some words, you know, that are far worse than others. Like some people say, all sin is sin. That's not even true. There's some sins that are an abomination to God. Jesus died for all sins, but you can't link all sins to sin. But sin is still sin. But all sin is not the same. Some carry with it a higher weight. Well, she used, I'm talking about a filthy word. And I said, listen, I said, we're not going to put up with that. Say, what did she do? Turned around, marched right back inside the house. Here is what I'm saying. That woman was religious. We spent over an hour there at the house trying to talk to her, but you can't get through her head because she's been so ingrained with religion until she thinks that it's okay. It's okay to live a certain way and yet call Jesus your Lord. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to stand before God. Just because a person says that they're saved doesn't mean they're saved. And when they stand before him, it's going to be a terrible time. Just talking about the Lord is not salvation. Secondly, just praising God and preaching is not salvation. Matthew 7, verse 22a says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? I've told you how the word prophecy, it means to foretell. It can mean praising God in certain areas. And I showed that in the word in a different message. And it can also mean preaching. And so praising God and preaching is not salvation. So let me hit the first one. Praising God is not salvation. Now, don't get me wrong. A saved person will want to praise the Lord. We ought to say amen. We ought to say praise the Lord. Those are biblical terms. Nothing wrong with praising the Lord. But we have to get the horse before the cart. We have to know the one that we're praising about and the one we are praising. We have to trust Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. So just praising God is not salvation. I told you, I grew up in church. And the church I grew up in Sacramento, I didn't preach the word. But I grew up in church hearing and seeing people praise the Lord. I mean, they could praise the paint off the wall. They knew how to praise God. As far as the theatrical side of it. I'm not saying all they were doing was praise, because they were doing some crazy things. But we would have people up in church, and I'm telling you, man, they would grab their hips, some of them ladies, man, and they'd be doing this. You know how it is. That's about the best you're going to get out of me, amen? And I've told you before how a lot of times it was all about show, because they couldn't sit back where they were and shouted. They got to work their way up to the front so everybody can see them get their shout on. That's the way they would operate. And by the way, the same lady that I was talking about that was sitting, that we went over to her house for an hour and some change, that same lady went to that same church in South Carolina. Same one. God knows how to put something together to give you a witness to somebody. Same one. And we see a man, they come in front of the church, and man, they'd be up there, you know, jumping and shouting and carrying on and all of this and putting on a big show. And some of the same ones, I can remember seeing it even as a teenager, some of them same ones would leave outside, would go out on the church parking lot, and you would have leaders, L-E-A-D-E-R-S, in the church who would hit the trunk of their car, would lift the trunk of their car up, and they would have these ball jars with stump hole liquor in there, and people would go right out there and get their stump hole liquor. Just because somebody praises God doesn't mean that they know Christ as their Savior. I told you before, my cousin, one of the biggest root workers in South Carolina, one day the preacher was up preaching and he was in there all into the sermon, laughing and carrying on, all into it, the sermon. And I'm sitting over there, and by the way, I wasn't saved then. Wasn't saved. But I'm sitting over there listening to him. I can still see it right now. He's into the sermon. But yet the biggest root worker in Dalzell, South Carolina. I know what it's like. I've been in his home. I spent nights in his home. The sad commentary is he's dead today. Dead today. And unless something happened after I left, that man is in hell today. Now you think about it, the biggest root worker, but yet he can praise God in church. See, just because someone's praising God doesn't mean that they're saved. You know, today we have a lot of people, and you go different places. Everybody want to say, have a blessed day. Nothing wrong with that. But a lot of people who say, have a blessed day, hadn't been blessed with salvation. They're just repeating a phrase. They're drawing nigh, but their heart hadn't been changed. One person said about their choir, they said, man, our choir could really sing. But they said, while the choir was singing, they said, you smell liquor all up in the choir. You know, we don't have a choir. We have United Praise, and we have a praise group, but we don't have a choir. But we have a praise group, and they do an outstanding job. But if we know somebody's in the praise group drinking liquor, they're not getting up here and singing. You understand what I'm saying? See, our praise ought to come as a result of our heart being connected to Him. Just praising God and preaching is not salvation. Many times, many preachers can stand in the pulpit and preach, and we've got them all across Winston-Salem and this country, but yet they know not the Lord. There are a lot of false people who are out there. Look at verse 15 of Matthew 7. It says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." In other words, they come looking like a sheep, but they're a wolf. A wolf. There are a lot of people. Matter of fact, I preached a message one time and started yelling wolf. Made some applications. Listen, you've got a lot of people out there who claiming to know God, standing in the pulpits preaching Sunday after Sunday, but they don't know the one they're preaching about. Oh, they'll get up and say things like, "The Lord can help you. You need to give your life to the Lord." What does that mean? You find out what it means. In many cases, it means you come and join somebody's church. It means you come and be baptized. In some cases, you've got a lot of false people that are out there and just praising God and just preaching doesn't mean a person's saved. Just because somebody calls themselves a preacher, that doesn't mean that that person is a born-again child of the living God. Hey, God saved me before I ever was called to preach. And that's the only way he ever works. He doesn't call a person to preach who does not know him as Lord and Savior. But you've got a lot of men in the pulpit today who are preaching who know not God as their Savior. During the Christmas season, hey, you may come into contact with a preacher or somebody who's giving, who's saying something about the Lord. Hey, don't take it for granted that they're saved. Hey, see if you can strike up a conversation and share your faith with them. Jesus is the reason. It's not about Santa Claus. Matter of fact, a Christian ought not to be telling their children about Santa Claus. It's Jesus. He is the reason for the season. Just talking about the Lord is not salvation. I said, secondly, just praising God and preaching is not salvation. Number three, just claiming to have power is not salvation. I said, just claiming to have power is not salvation. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22b. He says that in thy name have cast out devils. The word devils means demons. Just because someone claims to have supernatural power doesn't make them born again. Judas Iscariot went out with the other disciples, but he was lost. You got a lot of people today claiming to have power, but they don't know the one who gives the power. Judas had everybody else tricked but the Lord. He said, "Have not I chosen you, but one of you is a devil." Literally, one of you is a demon. Just because somebody claims to have power doesn't mean they're saved. Matter of fact, the more power a saved person possesses, it makes them more humble and not boastful and bragging about the power that they have, because they realize all power comes from God. Number four, just doing good works is not salvation. Just doing good works is not salvation. Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. He said, "And then will I profess unto them." Well, let me go ahead and read verse 22, the latter part. It says, "And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." See, just doing good works in the name of the Lord doesn't make a person saved. During this Christmas season, there will be people during this Christmas season who will prepare meals and things for the homeless and for those who are unfortunate. You will have some who will stand out and collect for the Salvation Army, but yet do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. You will have others who have a philanthropic nature and those who love to share and help and give things to people and will give toys to other people, but they know not the giver of life. And during this Christmas season, what an opportunity you and I have to be able to communicate Christ with people. I want to challenge you. During this Christmas season, you might be walking out and you'll see someone standing up for the Salvation Army. Don't just walk up and give them $1 or $2 or $3. Why don't you ask them, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you died right now, do you know you're going to heaven? Explain to me how you're going to get to heaven. And you may want to do the latter before you even do the first two. See, what I'm saying is there are a lot of people out there today, I'm talking about their legion, who know not the Lord, and they're doing good works. But good works can't get you to heaven. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, if salvation was by works, then we would say, well, why am I going to heaven? Well, if somebody asked us, and we would say, well, I'm going to heaven because I've joined preacher so-and-so's church. Or I'm going to heaven because I've been baptized. Or I'm going to heaven because I treat my neighbor right. Or I'm going to heaven because I give money to the church. Or I'm going to heaven because I try to do the best that I can. The best that we can do in God's eyes are as filthy rags. Isaiah 64 verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. See, sincerity and doing well won't get a person to heaven. A lot of people feel like as long as I'm sincere about it, then that means that I'm going to go. But no, it doesn't. A person can be sincere about what they're taking and think that it's medicine. If you grab some strychnine and you take that thinking it's medicine, I don't care how sincere you are in trouble. And salvation is not something that is a result of our being sincere. It's about the Savior and what he has done. There's only one way to go to heaven, and sincerity doesn't count in salvation. You've got to repent of your sins and trust Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. I want to tell you today and challenge you, don't take it for granted that your child is saved. If your child is not in church, faithful to the Lord, serving the Lord, living a separated life away from the house of God, loving God's word, loving God's people, loving God, and have come to the cross, then don't take it for granted, because if they're not doing the things that God has required, then they're lost. Everybody wants to think that their child or their children is going to heaven, but your child must come by way of the cross. And if your child is saved, you won't have to browbeat them about being in church. If your child is saved, you won't have to constantly get on them about living a separated life. If they're in the clubs and doing things and using profanity and of all kinds of various things, don't take it for granted that they're saved. During Christmas, everybody wants to get something to give to the child to make them happy. The greatest thing you can give to your child is a verbal witness and allow them to receive Christ as their Savior. That'll make a person happy. I spent the first 20 and a half years of my life as a lost man. I've spent now the last 34 years as a saved man. And I'm telling you, Christmas is different than it was when I was growing up. Don't take it for granted that your spouse is saved, your child is saved, your parents are saved, your friends are saved, or even people you come into contact with during this Christmas season, saved. People may be nice. They may be doing good works, but that doesn't save them. Mother Teresa, as I've told you a number of times, she did good works, but she's lost without Christ. Because she was trusting Mary and works to get her to heaven. Excuse me today, but people swoon over the Pope. But the Pope is lost without Jesus Christ. And think about the literal billions of people that follow. I didn't say millions. I said billions of people who follow the Pope and his teaching. There's only one person that can get you to heaven. There's only one person who can forgive your sins, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You see a lot of people today, you see sports figures. They'll make a shot, or they'll do something on a football field, and they'll make the Catholic sign of the cross and point towards heaven. But just because somebody makes a sign and points towards heaven, that doesn't mean that they know the Lord. Some people even get on television, I want to tell you about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and then look at their life leading up to it and their life afterwards. There's some problems. I remember being up in Screw in Lake, New York for a week, 1 week up in Screw in Lake, New York at the Bible College up there. 1 week I was there, and I remember just, you know, taking a tour and going around, and while I was there, I walked on the inside and saw in the office, they had a picture of a man there. This was back in 1982, the latter part of 1982, right about October of 1982. And they had Julius the Dr. Irving picture in there, who was supposed to have come to Screwin' Lake and make a profession of faith in Christ. And they put his picture up there, hold it up as a trophy of somebody who was famous, that had received Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. And I remember seeing that in 1983, they won the NBA championship. And I remember saying, okay, now what is he going to do? He did what everybody else did. Get in there with the champagne, just shooting it, just showering. Now they've even had him on television a while back making a commercial about drinking liquor. How many of you seen that? All right, so we got a few, several of you seeing that. Hey, just because somebody claims doesn't mean that they know him. The life must change. They will be surprised about their salvation. In conclusion, I've told you about what salvation is not. Real quickly, from this passage, let me tell you what salvation is. In conclusion, notice Matthew 7, verse 21b. It says, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. All right, so now what is the will of the Father which is in heaven? Well, we know what that is. That's why you have to marry Scripture with Scripture. 2 Peter 3:9 puts it this way. You don't have to turn there. I can quote it for you. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's the will of the Father, the will of God, that people come to repentance, that a person repents of their sins and receive his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the will or even the work of God? What is it? What did Jesus say? I won't have you to turn there. I have it here in my notes. In John chapter 6, verse 27 down through verse 29, Jesus said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Listen, you must put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. These people here in Matthew chapter 7 had never put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, your life is going to change. I promise you, it will change. That's Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Your life will change. When I went into the baptismal pool, my life didn't change. When I joined the church, my life didn't change. But when I received Christ, my life changed. You will have a genuine love for believers. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Hey, when you get saved, you're going to want to be around saved people. You feel out of your element when you're around lost people. You feel in you, within your element when you're around saved people. You want to love the brethren, love to be in God's house, love to be around the fellowship of believers. When I was lost, you had to twist my arm to get me to church. After I got saved, I'd walk 5 miles to get to church. There and back. You'd have a desire for the word of God. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. A newborn babe, you don't have to give them a 6-week discourse on how to desire milk. A baby desires milk because it's nature on the inside. That was on the inside of them. Their entire being cries out for that. When you get saved, your entire being cries out for the word, for the word, for the word. When I was lost, I'd sit up in church and go to sleep and try to figure out things that'll get my mind off it. I just got to try to make it through, looking at my watch, just hoping that the time would go by. After I got saved, I remember I was on board that ship. And the man of God, young man, 19 years of age at that time, he'd get up and preach. And I would be wondering, why did he quit so soon? When you get saved, you have a desire for God's word. If you have not repented of your sins and trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord, then hell is your home. But thank God, if you'll come and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. If you want to pass from death unto life, you come and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior.